Well, let's see the hand. Sammy asked you, but let's see the hand. How many of you ever had a bad day? Well, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. One of my favorite stories of a bad day comes from a guy down in Florida. His story was so bad, it actually made the papers in Florida. Here he was on the back patio, revving up, working on his motorcycle. He's kind of down on his knees, kind of revving the thing up, when all of a sudden, somehow, it kicks into the gear. He's got a hold of the handlebars. It drags him through the plate glass window of the patio door and finally comes to rest in the middle of the living room on top of him. His wife is working in the kitchen, hears this crash, comes running in the living room, finds her husband cut and bleeding, motorcycle on top of him, and she calls 911, helps him get out from underneath the motorcycle. They live on a hill, so she has to go down the steps to the street, make sure the paramedics know where to find him, finally get her husband to the hospital. She follows in a car, and she's there for a while and decides, you know what, it might be a while before they get him all cleaned up. He's got to have a few stitches, this type of thing. And she thought, well, I'll head back home and just get things cleaned up. You can imagine, I mean, glass all over everything. She finally gets the motorcycle up off the floor and gets that thing wheeled back out to the patio. Notices that while I was laying there in the middle of the living room, it had kind of leaked some gasoline on her wood floor. So she comes back in, takes a few paper towels and kind of dabs that stuff up. Then as she's heading back to the kitchen, she's not thinking. She just kind of tosses that wadded up, you know, those towels with the gas stuff, just chucks them in the toilet as she's heading by the bathroom. And a little while later has to go back and get her husband. He gets home. He's despondent. He sees his motorcycle all scratched up, sees the patio door that he blew up, you know. And what a bad day. He's all cut up. He decides to use the bathroom. Goes in, sits down, lights up a cigarette while he's thinking about all this stuff. You can kind of get an idea where this is going, don't you? When he's done with a cigarette, kind of chucks it in the toilet bowl while he's still seated, and we have spontaneous combustion. Wife hears that while she's out in the kitchen. She hears screams coming from the bathroom, runs in there to find him now lying on the bathroom floor, his pants all burned up, the back of his legs and his rear end burned, and so she calls the paramedics again. 911 runs down the hill again, down to the street. And wouldn't you know it, when the paramedics get there, it's the same team that had been dispatched to her house just a few hours earlier. They go back up, get this guy onto the stretcher, start hauling him back down to the street. She's accompanying them. While they're heading down the street, they ask her, how in the heck did this happen? She begins to tell them. They start laughing so hard that one of the guy drops his end of the stretcher and the husband rolls off, whereby he goes down the steps, lands in the street with a broken arm. That's where it ends, but I read that and go, now that's a bad day. We all have our bad days and our times of tragedy, if you will, that we walk through. You know, Jesus had his bad day on the way to the cross. We call his bad day Good Friday. Well, yeah, what was so good about it? You understand, we call it Good Friday because of the good that came to us, but it wasn't a good day for him. I mean, it was a bad day. And so over the next few weeks while we're running up to Easter, we're going to learn from Jesus how to handle our bad days as we watch him handle his. We're going to look at the seven last words or statements of Christ from the cross, and we're going to find in them a model for how we too can come through our bad days and stay faithful to God. Stay in that place where God can help us and even lead us into our resurrection realities. And so we begin today with one of the most powerful lessons we can ever learn in life, and that is to forgive those who have brought pain to our lives. Guys, that will not only help you to get through your bad days, it'll keep you from having a bad life. So here we have Jesus hanging on the cross in agony, in incredible pain, because they've driven spikes through his wrists and through his feet. Not only that, but he has been tried and judged unfairly. He has been mocked. He has been flogged. And I think if you ever saw the Passion of the Christ, as brutal as it was, it still didn't do justice to what the Bible tells us happened to Jesus. Isaiah tells us he was beaten beyond recognition. So he's been flogged, he's been mocked, he's been spat upon, he's suffered public humiliation. And for what? Think about it. What did he ever do? Except love, heal, set people free, and preach the truth from God's perspective. So if anybody ever had a right to want to get even or get back, it was Jesus, and he would have been justified in doing it. If anyone ever had a right to simply say, Father, I'm sick of this injustice, just condemn them all to hell, who cares? Jesus had a right to do that. The old Easter hymn said it. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set us free, and set him free. And he didn't do that. He could have called 10,000 angels, but it says he died alone for you and for me. And when he died with forgiveness in his heart and forgiveness on his lips. The words from the cross are powerful. They are timeless when it comes to teaching us how to live through our bad days, particularly when our bad day is the result of someone else's irresponsible or sinful choices. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, we find these beautiful words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's one of the most powerful and one of the most difficult things we will ever decide to do in this life. And that's to forgive the injustice and hurt that others cause in our lives. And yet it's one of the most powerful things we ever do, because forgiving those who hurt us is the key to not being permanently victimized by them. And so I want to look briefly today at, first of all, why we need to forgive. And then we're going to look at how to forgive, a couple of steps in the forgiveness process. And then before we leave here today, we're going to practice forgiving. And I believe God is going to do some powerful things in your life today. So just stick with me here and open your heart to what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you and reveal to you today about the importance of forgiveness. But number one, why should I forgive? Three reasons. First, because I have already been forgiven. Because God has forgiven me. Colossians 3:13 says very simply and succinctly, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, one of the greatest gifts you could ever receive is to know that God has forgiven your sins. I wonder if everybody in this room knows today for sure that your sins have been forgiven. Because the Bible tells us that when you invited Jesus Christ into your life, one of the great gifts that were released in your life is that he forgave all your sins. There's some of you who've never received Jesus, and you're thinking, well, I think God will forgive me someday. I want to tell you, you're mistaken. The only way you get the gift of forgiveness is to receive the gift of forgiveness that Jesus provided on the cross. And I just simply don't understand why people will reject that, because the one thing you're going to need when you stand before a holy God one day is to know that your sins are forgiven. And the only way you're going to know that is to know that you've received the gift that he gave to forgive your sin, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And you want to know that you've invited him into your life and you've asked him to forgive you. Here's what I want you to know. When you did that, and when you do that, he comes into your life and he forgives. He cancels out all your sin. And so he simply asks you to give out of the overflow of that forgiveness that you've received. You forgive because God has forgiven you. Think about it. You ever come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and heard him say, nope, not going to forgive you for that? You've never heard him say that. He forgives you totally, and he forgives you completely when you ask him to forgive you. And not only that, he has already forgiven the worst sin that you could possibly have committed. Some people think, well, I don't know if God will forgive me because you don't know how badly I've sinned. Guys, I don't really worry about how badly you sinned. I already know God has made provision to forgive the greatest sin you could have ever committed. You say, well, what is that? The fact that your sin helped nail him to the cross. Your sin helped put Jesus Christ on the cross. Did you know that? You've never thought about the fact that while you weren't there that day nailing him up, your sin helped put him on the cross. It's the greatest sin. And so you were included in that prayer when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. truth is, God is never going to ask you to forgive someone else more than he's already forgiven you. I know it can seem that way at times. I know people may have done really bad things to you, very hurtful things to you, but still, God is not asking you to forgive someone else more than he's forgiven you. He just simply asks you to forgive out of the forgiveness that you've received from him. Why do I need to forgive? Because God's forgiven me. Second reason I need to forgive is because I'm going to need God's forgiveness in the future. Right? Mark 11 and verse 25 says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them." Why? So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. See, when you refuse to forgive, you burn the very bridge over which you're going to need to walk in the future. Right? Unless you have plans to be perfect from here on out. Anybody got plans to be perfect? Just raise, you know, I know maybe you've heard your spouse. You know, my spouse thinks he's perfect, you know. This type. Listen, you're not perfect. And you're going to need forgiveness in the future. And the only way you're going to be able to access that forgiveness in the future is if you live with a forgiving heart. Now, sometimes we can read verses like this, and it seems like Jesus is saying that we kind of earn his forgiveness as we forgive others. Now, I've taught you before, guys, that when we talk about God's forgiveness, when we talk about his grace, we never want to talk about earning it. It has nothing to do with earning it. I said back in January, we don't earn it, we access it, right? But there are things we can do that can cut ourselves off from those things to which we need access from God. So you need access to his forgiveness. The only thing that allows you that access is if you're a forgiving person. Here's why. Because resentment acts as a lid over your life. Let's say that here you are, you're walking clean, you know, the lid's off, man. And so when you ask God for forgiveness, man, you can just be plunged right in to his forgiveness and grace, and there's nothing to stop his forgiveness and grace from filling you because you're living with a forgiving heart. But let's say this represents your life. You're half empty, you've gone a little flat. You got proof that people have hurt you. Man, you put that lid on really tight some time ago, and that's going to serve as proof the rest of your life of how much people have hurt you, how they've emptied your life, how they've made your life flat. Now, you got all this junk in your life. You want to look like that, but you look like this. And you come to God one day and you say, "God, I really want you to clean me up. I need to be forgiven. I need your grace and your love in my life. Will you forgive me?" God says, "Take the lid off." See, because if you've got resentment over the lid of your life, guess what? It doesn't matter. You can come to God, you can sit in his presence, you can ask for his love and forgiveness, and none of that stuff can get into you. Why? Because you've got the lid of resentment on your life. When you get a lid of resentment on your life, it not only keeps in the stuff you really don't want in, it keeps you from getting the stuff you really need. Do you understand? When God says, "You forgive so that I can forgive you," it's not that he doesn't want to forgive you, it's that the lid of your unforgiveness is keeping forgiveness from coming to your life. I think of it as like an ATM machine. Most of us know ATM machines, but let's think of God's forgiveness as like an ATM machine that is unlimited in supply. He says anytime you need forgiveness, you come. But what else do you need to make an ATM machine work on your behalf? You need a little card with a PIN number, don't you? It's forgiveness that gives you the card with the PIN number. When you drive up to the ATM, "I need forgiveness." God wants you to know that you've got a card, and when you pop in the PIN, "I forgive." And if you can't pop in the PIN, "I forgive," guess what? You don't have access to that ATM machine. You can stand there in front of it all day long, say, "Man, it's got unlimited forgiveness and grace, but somehow it's not getting to my life." Part of what gets it to your life is that you'll forgive. That takes the lid of resentment off your life. So why do I need forgiveness? Because God has forgiven me, and because I'm going to need forgiveness in the future. And thirdly, because resentment doesn't work. Because resentment only makes things worse. How many of us have already discovered that? I really want to help you understand this today. There are some of you that God is going to set free today when you understand this. See, when you refuse to forgive, you give permission for tormentors to enter your life. You may have put the lid of resentment on, But I want to tell you something else. You have given permission for torment to enter life. When I say tormentors, now you're not only experiencing the pain of that trauma that came to your life, now you're not only experiencing the pain of what somebody else did to you, now you've got the pain of what that resentment is bringing in your life and the kind of torment that is coming through that doorway in your life. I want you to look at Matthew 18. Jesus gave us a very important lesson here. And it's a parable about where a master forgave a man $2 million one day, a $2 million debt. This guy threw himself down and said, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. Well, that was a lie. There's no way he was ever going to be able to pay back that debt. And the Bible says that his master had pity on him and forgave him that entire debt. And the next day, this guy being forgiven runs out and finds somebody that owes him 20 bucks, grabs him by the throat and said, pay up, man. The guy says, I don't have the 20 bucks right now. Just be patient with me. I'll get it to you. The guy says, no, I'm done. You're done. Has him thrown into jail. Guy that's just received a $2 million debt, forgiven, locks up somebody who owes him 20. I want you to notice God's response to that. And I want you to put yourself in the parable because you're the person that's been forgiven $2 million. He forgave you a debt you could not pay. When he had Jesus pay it for you on the cross. And you know what we look like before God when we run around not willing to forgive other people? We're like this guy forgiving that debt who's locking other people away for $20 deals that they do in our lives. Look what the master said. Master called the servant in. He said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Kind of sounds like forgive, just as the Lord has forgiven you. And then look what it says. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. In the literal Greek text, it says he turned him over to tormentors. To tormentors. And then get this. Verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, so you get the picture here. Jesus wasn't saying that your heavenly Father becomes the tormentor in your life, but that through a lack of forgiveness, you get handed over to tormentors. The Bible talks about God giving us over at times. So God says, Cal, forgive. No, I ain't forgiven, Lord. Not after what they did. Cal, forgive. No, not forgiven. No, you see what they did to me? Cal, forgive. I'm telling you, forgive. Nope, not going to do it. There comes a time where the Lord says, okay, if you do not want to live in my healing and forgiveness, I will turn you over to the tormentors. And this is what makes the master angry. That rather than live in his healing and forgiveness, you would rather complicate the issue by not only taking the wound of the original trauma, but now have tormentors riding into your life through your lack of forgiveness. I ran across a story the other day about two men who'd gone into the forest to cut wood, and as they were laboring together, one of the men was bitten on his ankle by a snake. And man, now frightened and angry, you know, he's watching his ankle swell up. You can almost see the poison running up through his system, and this is a snake. This thing will kill you. I mean, his buddy knows we got to get this guy to the doctor now because we don't have time to waste. But the guy that's been bitten is so focused on getting that snake. He's out there in that brush hunting this thing down. His buddy's going, come on, we got to get to the doctor, man. You're going to die. The guy says, I ain't leaving here until I get that snake. See, I don't even have the trauma of the snake bite. Now I've got the anger. Now I've got the fear. And now I've got death riding into my life because of instead of pursuing healing, I am focused on the culprit and getting back at it. How smart is that? It's a picture of what happens when we refuse to forgive and deal with the hurt and trauma that has come into our lives, and then we instead remain focused on getting back, on hating the person who did it. Some of you are experiencing spiritual and emotional and physical torment in your life today because you've chosen to hang on to your resentment and chase the snake instead of forgiving and pursuing healing. I saw an interesting illustration of this a few nights ago on the news. I'm going to show you the clip here. Watch this lady and you'll understand a little bit about her pain.
Back now at 7:36 with what some are calling the biggest courthouse scandal in U.S. history. Two judges in Pennsylvania convicted in a so-called cash for kids scheme. And now one mother says her son died because of one of those judges. We're going to talk to her in just a moment. But first, NBC's Jeff Rawson has details now. Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Hi, Ann. Good morning to you. That judge sent hundreds of kids to jail for minor crimes while taking kickbacks from the jail itself. This morning, he's been convicted along with another judge, but that wasn't enough for one of the victim's mothers who confronted him outside of court. The dramatic scene caught on tape.
Do you remember me? Do you remember me? Do you remember my son? An all-star wrestler? He's good. He's got his thumb in the heart. You ruined my life.
Sandy Fonzo couldn't hold back face to face with the judge, the man she blames for her son's death.
No, you know what he told everybody in court? They need to be held accountable for their actions. You need to be. Do you remember me?
Prosecutors say Judge Civarello was secretly cashing in as he sent kids to jail, taking kickbacks of nearly $1 million from the company that ran the jail. When Sandy Fonzo saw him after court, she let loose.
My kid's not here. He's dead. Because of him. He ruined my life. I'd like them to go to hell and rot there forever.
Now, I'm watching that on the news the other night, and I can tell you my heart went out to that lady. I mean, I'm thinking, put yourself in her shoes. What the heck? Her son was thrown in jail for 6 months for a relatively minor offense by a judge who apparently was taking kickbacks. And when the son then got out, she said his life was never right again, and he ended up taking his own life. Now, here's this mom. I mean, she's lost in her pain. She's raging against the unfairness of it all, wishing that that judge would just rot in hell and claiming that he's forever ruined her life. Now, you can understand her anger. You feel for her. You hope justice is brought to this case. But think about it, guys. Who is her rage and bitterness hurting at this point? You know, somebody once said, trying to get even, hating someone else is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. I can tell you, based upon that clip, there are tormentors that have been released in that woman's life. And she is exactly right. Her life is forever ruined and will only get worse unless or until she meets the Jesus that not only needs to forgive her, but can help her to forgive those who have brought pain into her life. So we can understand why we need to forgive. God's forgiven us. We're going to need forgiveness in the future. Resentment just makes things worse. How can we forgive, particularly when it's pains that are that deep? Well, let's look at a couple of steps. Step number one is this. Ask God for the grace to forgive. Because, guys, there are some things, depending on the hurt, you don't have the physical, the human strength to forgive. You have to ask God for the grace to forgive. It's a gift in your life that he wants you to give to somebody else. And I find it helps me. If I can bring myself before the cross and I can imagine that Jesus is forgiving me for the fact that I am putting him up there, when I begin to see that that is the worst thing that anybody could ever do, I help crucify the Son of God. When I get a hold of that and I experience the grace of God, say, Lord, you have forgiven me the worst thing I could ever do. Then, guys, I don't want to tell you, there's a grace in my life that says, why would I hold on to something else against somebody else? Ask God for the grace to forgive. Secondly, choose to forgive. See, first and foremost, forgiveness is an act of your will, a decision at the spiritual level that I'm going to grant a release to the offending person or persons. When we forgive, we choose to set them free. We don't hold the resentment. We don't hold the bitterness. We let go of our plans of retaliation, and we let go of our desire to punish them. For that woman, she's saying, you know what? I'm letting that judge go. Now, do we hope justice is done? Yes. But whose job is that to bring justice? Not mine, by hoping he just rots in hell the rest of his life. No, you know what? I surrender him to God. God knows what that person needs. And the justice system, we hope, will do what is right. But you know what? From here on out, I've released him. I'm not going to hold on to that anymore. I choose to forgive. Now, there are a couple of misconceptions that people have about this whole point when we talk about forgiveness being a choice. And one is that the moment that I forgive, somehow I'm not going to feel the pain of that offense anymore. And that's not true. Frequently, because a person still feels pain after he's made a decision to forgive, he starts thinking, well, my forgiver must be broken, so I got to forgive again. No, guys, forgiveness is an act of the will. The pain is something that needs to be healed. It doesn't just leave because there's been forgiveness. That mom is going to grieve the loss of her son for a long time. She's going to have pain that her son isn't there with her anymore. But that is different than the pain of wishing that that judge would rot in hell and wishing that she could somehow get even. No, she needs to forgive, and then she needs to bring her pain to Jesus and say, now this needs to be healed. Kind of leads us to, well, there's another misconception there, and it goes along with this. When I say that forgiveness is a choice, that's true. But it's also more than just a decision. At least there's a process involved that we may have to work through to come to a place of emotional healing. It may require facing a lot of painful memories before we finally come to that place where we're not triggered by that thing every time we think about it. See, that hurt has triggers. First of all, I forgive. I bring my pain to the cross and ask Jesus to heal. And as I keep myself there, as I continue to invite him into those places for healing, after a while, it feels like there's been emotional release and I'm not triggered anymore. So forgiveness, while it is a choice, it brings us into the healing process that really allows us to feel forgiveness at the emotional level eventually as we allow God to do his work. But here's what I want you to know. Just because you have pain doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. Okay, so what do I do with the pain? Well, again, we ask God for grace to forgive. We choose to forgive. Now, step three is you entrust God with the consequences of the other person's sin. Now, I want you to pay attention here for a moment because I've not really heard people talk about this before. Now, I didn't say you take responsibility for their sin. You don't excuse it. You don't deny it. You don't try to pacify it. You don't try to pretend it didn't hurt you. When Joseph faces his brothers 20 years later, after they wanted to kill him, they sold him into slavery, he didn't say, oh, you know what, I know you guys didn't mean it. He said, no, you know what, you guys meant it for evil. What you guys did to me, yeah, it was evil. But I want you to know God meant it for good. You can only say that if you've come through to a place of forgiveness. You'll begin to see that no matter what's come against you, God has worked it for good in your life. How do you get there? Well, it's important that you be able to say, God, this has hurt me deeply. You be very honest about that. It was unjust. It was evil. It made me feel devalued and cheap. I feel like I want to hate that person. I want to get even for that mom and the teenage boy. God, I feel like this has ruined my life. I feel that judge will never know what he's done to me. So we own the pain and we own the trauma of that event. But then we say, I acknowledge these consequences in my life. See, that's what you want to get even about. You've got consequences and trauma that you are living with because of what somebody else did. And to forgive feels like I'm letting them off the hook because I'm the one that's got the consequences in my life. You're absolutely right. Here's the problem, guys. You only got two things you can do with those consequences and the pain of those consequences. You can either carry them yourself and just keep that wound open, or you can bring it to the cross and lay it on Christ. As often as you want to blame, as often, you know, that's what we're going to want to do. We feel that pain and we turn it and we want to blame and say, you are responsible. You have messed up. You have ruined my life. You know, you can do that or you can turn it. You turn away from the blame and you bring that pain to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, this is why it's so difficult. I am suffering these consequences in my life, but I am laying this on you now and asking you to heal the pain in my life. I no longer want to blame who did it. I want to be healed from what's happened. Bring the pain to the cross as often as you want to blame. Now, here's another important point that I didn't know until just a little while ago. Key number four is you renounce all negative judgments in your life. See, because another sin related to unforgiveness is the sin of judgment. And when Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 1, do not judge or you will be judged, he was describing the effects of judgment on the heart of the one who judges. See, when we carry a negative judgment in our hearts towards someone else, we give the tormentor permission to bring judgment upon us. Do not judge or you will be judged. That's not just talking about down the road. That's talking about right now. You're giving the tormentor an opportunity to bring judgment on your life. You've opened the door to things that you don't want in your life. And often one of the ways we can know whether we've truly forgiven or not is that our heart is free from judgment against the offender. Recently, I was sitting through a session where this was being taught, and I realized that the judgments I had in my heart towards a couple of people were the very things that were keeping me tied to the pain of their sin against me. But if you would have asked me when I was walking into that class, do you got anybody to forgive? I said, no, I don't have anybody to forgive. I can't think of anybody I need to forgive right now. We started dealing with negative judgments, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking of a couple guys. The minute I think of their names, I don't want to tell you the kind of things I'm thinking. You think you're not a very good pastor. If you can think, yeah, pastors think those bad thoughts too. You know, I don't want us to think somebody's the south end of a donkey going north. I'm going, holy cow, what's that all about? God's going, you got negative judgments in your life. Now, I want you to surrender those judgments to me, ask forgiveness for it, and I want you to ask me, ultimately, what I want to do is, God, will you give me your heart for that person? Give me your vision of that person. These were two brothers in my life. God wants me walking around calling them names in my mind? No. When I think of them, I want to think, Lord, that's your brother. Or, Lord, that's your son, my brother. And so, Lord, I surrender them to you for whatever you may need to do in their lives, but I ask you to bless them. I ask you to do your work in their lives. I'm not going to concern myself with that anymore. You let go of the judgment. I mean, think about it. Jesus wasn't free if on the cross he was going, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, but they're still a bunch of scumbags. Can you imagine Jesus doing that? Now, do you see, you can't walk in forgiveness at the same time that you're still judging the person. So I want to help you get free from some of your negative judgments today, and this is going to bring healing to some of your lives by bringing you out from under judgment. Some of you are going to cut the ground from under tormentors in your life today, because they have no ground to be in your life except that your resentment has been the open door saying, come on in. Now, the great thing about this is when you yield your negative judgments, it causes a beautiful gift to be operative in your life, and that's called discernment. God wants you to have discernment. See, because some of you go, well, you know, Cal, if I forgive that person, if I forgive my ex-spouse, if I forgive that dad who wounded me, if I forgive, you know, I just feel like God's going to make me have to go back, and I feel like they're just going to hurt me again. No, what you need there is discernment. God doesn't tell you because you forgive somebody that there's automatically going to be restoration. That relationship may not even be wise for you to move towards that relationship. That person may still be very unsafe. That person maybe has never asked for forgiveness. That person's maybe never acknowledged what they've done. They're maybe as messed up as they always were. And that's why, you know, they were hurt when they hurt you. Hurt people hurt people. God's not asking you through forgiving to just go put yourself back in a place where you can get wounded. See, so you need discernment. All he's saying is you forgive and release your negative judgments. So you release them to God. You entrust the pain of that event to him. You ask him to heal you. And then closing the door on resentment in your life, see, God can get after those things in your life that he needs to heal. Beyond that, only God can tell us what more we should do, if anything, with that relationship. So I want to ask you today, have you forgiven those who have brought pain to your life? Or are you still living in the torment of bitterness? Now, some of us are trying to have it both ways. Yeah, we do that. Well, it's kind of like I want to believe that I have, but I know I'm really holding on to some stuff. And I think of this little Peggy, 4-year-old Peggy, who had to be removed from the kitchen table one night because she was acting up when guests were there, and she knew, you know, you got to go to your bedroom for a little while. And so her parents walked her to the bedroom and said, now, when you're sorry enough to come out, when you're ready to ask forgiveness, you can come out. She's sitting, you know how how it is. Not going out there. Then she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to be in there anymore. So a little bit later, they noticed while they're talking that she did get up and open the door. They're waiting for No Peggy. She doesn't walk out. You know, a few minutes later, no Peggy. So finally, the dad got up from the table, went to the bedroom, sat down on the bed with her, talked to her about it a little bit, and he says, "Now, Peggy, are you sorry enough to want to come out?" She folds her arms like this and said, "Nope, I'm only sorry enough to want the door open." Some of us are like, "No, I'm going to hang. You know, I want to forget, but no, I got to hang on to it. I got to hang on to it." See, because the moment I let go of the lid and I get filled up with the love of Jesus, I no longer have the evidence of how much that person has hurt me. And so I like to just, man, if I just hang on to this, I can prove to people what others have done to me. See, God says, no. Just let it go. Have you done that? If you're holding on to your resentment, you're making things worse. God gave me this story this week of a counselor named Betsy who had a very wounded young woman that she was counseling. This woman had been the victim of incest, sexual abuse at her brother's hands for 5 years. And you can understand, she was just filled with hatred and rage towards her brother. And it didn't matter what Betsy said to say, you got to work through to a place where you can forgive your brothers. Like, there is no way in the world. Kind of like forgiveness means I'm going to be saying that it was okay and it wasn't okay. You know, that's kind of what she had in her life. Well, she was supposed to meet Betsy back one day, and she gets a phone call from this young woman who says, "Oh my gosh," she said, "I've got bleeding ulcers, and now they're very painful, but the doctors are saying I might need to have surgery. I don't know if I can come and see you today." And Betsy said, "Well, you try your best to come and see me." But while Betsy was praying for her, the Lord revealed to Betsy that the bleeding ulcers were the tormentors. You know, first she had the pain of what was done to her. Now, because she's holding on to resentment, these bleeding ulcers have come into her life. What's coming in after that is it's going to destroy her colon, and what's coming after that, it's going to lodge in her body in another place. Betsy doesn't know what to do with that. She called the pastor who had referred this young woman to her, said, "Do I tell her?" And the pastor said, "Yeah," they prayed about it, said, "I think we probably need to talk to her about it." So fortunately, the young woman came to see Betsy that day. And Betsy just shared with her the heart of love that God has for her. Says, "He doesn't want to see you going through this stuff, but you have to come to a place where you are willing to let go of your resentment and forgive your brother. Because here's what God has showed me is going to happen." And she laid it out, and fortunately, it just kind of broke this young woman at that point. And she says, "I don't want that in my life." She says, "Well, those are the tormentors that are riding in on your resentment." And so, man, there began a war in that place that day as this young woman begins to give up to God, asks for the grace to forgive, and comes through to a place where she said, "God, please, I want to know that I've forgiven my brother. I want to close the door on the tormentors in my life, but I forgive him, you know." And I mean, Betsy said it was like you could just see this physical, emotional war going on. It's just wearing her out. And by the time she was done, she was just slumped over in a chair. And she said, and all of a sudden, it was like life came into her, and she stood up, and she smiled, and she said, "The pain is gone. The pain is gone." And she screamed it one more time, "The pain is gone." And he started dancing around. She said, "You know what? God released an instantaneous miracle of physical healing in her life the moment she closed the door on the tormentor." And you know what God told me even this week? He said, "That's going to happen right here today." It already has. It already has. I could tell you testimonies. Guys, when you take care of the forgiveness deal, you automatically close the door on the tormentors who've assumed a right to be in your life through your resentment. Take care of the resentment. Guess what? Get on out of here. Don't need you tormentors anymore. I was praying before this service and during the week as to what God wanted to do, because we're going to walk through a little exercise here as we close. You know what he said to me? He said, "Cal, there are some people there who have heart conditions and high blood pressure, and it's due to the tormentor because of resentment in their life. There are some people who are going to be healed of migraine headaches, and it's due to the tormentor in their life, and they've never realized it." Now listen to what I did and did not say. I did not say if you have a migraine headache or if you have a heart condition or if you have high blood pressure, it's due to the fact that you have resentment in your life. I would never tell you that. What I am asking you today is if you're someone sitting here saying, I think I have some resentment in my life, and you can just kind of go back to that moment of trauma, and you go back to that place where you've been carrying that hurt, do you see a trail of other things that have ridden into your life as you've carried that resentment? That is probably indicative of the fact that there's a tormentor there who assumes a right to be there because you've opened the door through resentment. If you'll close the door today, I want to tell you something. God will kick the tormentor out of your life. He'll bring healing to you. So here's what we're going to do as we close. You have in your program a little tool that I want you to keep with you. It's a great tool to use for yourself and use for other people. It's just forgiveness and judgments. And you may be here today saying, Cal, I don't know if there's anybody I need to forgive. Maybe, well, that you don't have anybody in your life that you need to forgive. But here's what we're going to do. I want you to just bow your head and your heart right now. You, before God, I want you to ask him, Lord, is there anybody in my life that I need to forgive? Nobody can ask that question but you. So you ask him, is there anybody in my life that I need to forgive? Don't go fishing. Because if there is, it'll be instant like that. The Holy Spirit will go, yep, right there. So you don't have to sit there and go, well, let's see. Well, who did what to me? No, that's not what we're doing. You're asking, Lord, is there anybody that I've not forgiven in my life? And instantly, the Holy Spirit will put it on your heart. Now, I want you to look. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to release that person today. And you can even write it in on your card if you want to. But here it is. Dear Lord, you're saying this in your heart. I choose to forgive. Put their name in there. I choose to forgive my Uncle Larry. Lord, I choose to forgive my father for, now let's own what they did. What did they do? I choose to forgive my uncle for his sexual abuse against me. Just name it. What was it? What happened? And now we're going to go a little further. Because Father, when they did these things to me, it made me feel. Let's just let God know the pain. This woman would say, God, I feel like he destroyed my life. I hate him. Destroyed my life. When he locked my son up like that. And the reason you need to let God know those feelings, see, now you want to bring those to the cross. So here's what you're telling to him. Lord, please take these emotions and these effects. See, these are consequences that I'm dealing with. Please take these from me and place them on the cross. And I invite you now to heal me. And I thank you, Lord, that your healing is real. I thank you that you're already beginning to heal me from the effects of this sin. Okay? So we've forgiven. Now we're going to release our judgments. So you say, Dear Father, I know that you are the righteous judge and that it's a sin for me to judge. I confess that I have judged. Put the name of the person in there. Is there somebody you're judging? Every time you think of them, man, you just, it's like you cuss them out in your head. You'd love to call them that name, man. That's a negative judgment. You want to give that up to God today? It'll close some important doors in your life. I have judged them to be. Just describe how you've judged them. And see, now that you recognize that you're not supposed to be doing that, you confess that as sin. Lord, I confess my judgment as sin, and I ask you to forgive me of this sin. Please cleanse me of my sin and restore to me your heart for, and put that person's name in there. So that, Lord, from now on, when I think of that person, I'm going to know I've dealt with the judgment. I'm going to say, Lord, I've handed them to you. Thank you that they belong to you. I'm going to ask you to bless them because that's a person made in your image. You've died for them, Lord. They belong to you. I'm not going to call them names. That person's not an idiot. That person's not a piece of trash. That person's not a jerk. That person's made in your image. You died for them, Lord. So I release my negative judgments towards this person. I ask you to forgive me and restore to me your heart for this person. Now, one thing we're going to do, and then we're done. I want you to ask the Lord, is there any place in my life where I've been turned over to the tormentors? God, is there any place in my life where because of my resentment, it has led to a trail of emotional or physical fallout in my life. Guys, if the Lord is revealing that to you today, and you have forgiven, I want to tell you something. I believe he'll heal you. If you're one who has put that together today and you can say, man, I think I need healing from some tormentors that rode in through that wound in my life and through my lack of forgiveness, will you just stand where you are? We've had people stand all over this place. Saturday, first service. I want to tell you, I had the opportunity to pray specifically for one gal who walked out of here with the migraines and with all the pressure off the back of her head, just feeling like she was 40 pounds lighter because she forgave somebody today. And the tormentor went right out with it. Is that cool? God does that. If you want to pray for healing today in your life because of a tormentor, you stand up and I'm going to pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. Just be honest about it. Nobody, you know, we all, you know, you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks about you. You're just dealing with God. Now, this is pretty interesting, see, because you're acknowledging, I think there are things in my life that have probably come to me through my holding on to resentment. But you see, I've released the resentment today. So what you've done, you've closed the door to the tormentor. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, where that is true and wherever there has been physical and emotional complications due to resentment, we break that off right now in Jesus' name. And I want you with your mouth right now, you pray with me, those of you who are standing, you just say, in Jesus' name, I close the door on the tormentor in my life. And I cut the ground from under him. I refuse to give him access because I have forgiven. Now speak to him. Tormentor, in Jesus' name, get out of my life. And all the effects that you've brought, get out of my life. And now, Lord, I pray that you would release your healing virtue in every one of these lives. Lord, where there's been a heart issue because of resentment, let it go now. Where there's been high blood pressure because of this issue, let it go now. Lord, where there have been migraines, lift them off now. Father, there might even be cancers here. Let them just shrink up now because the tormentor has been kicked out. Let the Lord know, Lord, I'm receiving your healing right now. I receive your healing in my body and in my emotions, and I thank you for it. Because I believe there's something mighty happening in you right now. Some of you are going to have testimonies. Listen, you get the testimony. When God gives you the testimony, you let us know what he did. This isn't magic. This is just doing what God said. And I want to tell you what, the enemy has no right to afflict you where you've kicked him out. Hey, the rest of us, let's thank God for what he's done today, okay? Because I believe there's been some mighty things. Let's all stand together. And again, we're going to continue to worship for a little bit here today. You feel free to hang back if you want. And those of you who are standing, maybe you want somebody to continue to pray with you and agree with you about what it was that you sealed today. But you watch for what God does. You lean into your healing now as you keep your heart before him for the healing in your heart that he wants to do. Father, I say thank you so much for the power of your truth and for the power of your spirit. And I thank you that you're a God who binds up the brokenhearted, sets the captives free, and releases the prisoners. And God, I thank you that even where Satan thinks he has a right to afflict us, even because of our resentment, God, that when we give that to you, you kick the tormentor out of our life. I thank you. I believe that happened here today. And so, God, I'm trusting you for healing in the lives of these who said before you today, Lord, I don't want this in my life anymore. Now, Father, I pray you'd release over us a grace to forgive, because life will bring hurt to us. We can be sure of that. But if we know your grace, Lord, then we have what we need to be able to release the offender. And so keep us there before your cross, Lord, even as we live this week. May we bring our hurts to the cross so that we can receive the freedom we need to not be stuck in bad days. And we'll give you the thanks. We'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And again, if you need prayer today, come on down. And if you want to just sit and soak in worship. Guys, if God gives you a testimony, let us know, okay? Bless you.